Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel, please, chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. We're going to read the first 11 verses. If we could stand, if you are able, out of respect for God's word this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. I encourage you to get yourself a Bible. If you're newer and you need one, if you just see your Sunday school teacher, your Sunday school teacher will be more than glad to help you get one. So when we're looking at the Bible, we can look at it together. 1 Samuel chapter number 4 and verse number 1 says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. When the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.' So the people went to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews. As they have been to you, quit yourselves like men and fight. The Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray this morning as we look at this unusual story, that you would teach us some principles and help us, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Stress and emotional disorders are very prevalent in our society. Many people face it. Many have faced it or are facing it. If we're not careful, we allow our emotions to get the best of us. We allow stress to kind of come on us, and if we don't watch what we're doing, it can cause us to maybe make some decisions that would do great harm in our life. Two-thirds of Americans say that they are likely to seek help for stress. 54% of Americans are concerned about the level of stress in their everyday lives. Things of life that just come at you. Some of the things are just the natural things of life, and they can just kind of come, and some things are maybe situations we have to face. Some things are maybe just circumstances that are unpleasant that we have no control over. But yet it affects us, and we have to learn how to really deal with it and deal with it correctly. People stress about many things. Many are stressed about our economy, their futures. 50% of Americans have said that they are increasingly stressed about their ability to provide for their family's basic needs. 80% of Americans said that the economy is a significant cause of stress. Just thinking about the way things are going and cost and price and this or that. It affects our health if we're not careful. 53% of people report that they feel fatigue because of stress. 60% reported feelings of being irrational or anger. I know people that feel like that for no reason whatsoever. 52% say that sometimes they lay awake at night or they have trouble sleeping just because they're thinking about everything that's going on in their life and everything they have to face and thinking, how is that going to affect me and what does the future hold? It's a big deal. The biggest problem with our emotions, though, are the things that they can cause us to do. And I want to look at that this morning and hopefully help you just a little bit. In our text this morning, we see a very interesting story. Israel is facing battle with the Philistines. In their initial little skirmish on the first day, the Philistines win and they defeat 4,000 of the Israelites. They kill them. They go back to their camps, and the battle is going to join on another day. But as they go back to the camp, the elders of Israel are perplexed about what happened that day. They should not have been. If they were paying attention, they would have understood that their defeat was because of their disobedience to God, but they didn't get that, or they did not want to face that. So, in their minds, they hatch a plan. They're going to grab the Ark of the Covenant and bring that into battle with them. They feel if they bring God, the Ark of the Covenant that God gave to them, that the Ark of the Covenant would bring them victory. That God would not allow them to lose if that Ark was with them in the battle. The Ark of the Covenant was a very important piece of furniture in the tabernacle and resided in the Holy of Holies, and it was a big deal. In other words, by them taking the Ark of the Covenant into battle, they were trying to think about it. They were trying to manipulate God into their plans, to make God act on their behalf without them finding out what God wanted from them or doing what God wanted them to do. I'll bring this religious piece of furniture and I'll bring it to the battle and God's going to be forced to move and God's going to be forced to give us the victory. We try to do that sometimes. We try to force God to do what we want him to do without ever finding out exactly what does God want us to do. And so they bring it and it doesn't work. They lose. Not only do they lose, but Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, by the way, they were very wicked. Those guys shouldn't have been anywhere near that thing. They have these two wicked men bringing God's ark into a battle, thinking that'll just solve all their problems. And it didn't. They lost the battle. They lost the ark. Hophni and Phinehas, they lost their lives. But what happens is it gives the Israelites an emotional boost. And so they bring the Ark of the Covenant. Now they are all fired up and they start shouting and the Philistines hear this and the Philistines get afraid. Like, oh no, something has happened. They're going to come and kill us. And so now the Philistines are all emotionally out of kilter and this Ark and now we're going to lose. And someone had the common sense to stand up and say, listen, snap out of it. Let's just get out there and let's fight. If we're going to go down, we might as well go down fighting. Let's not worry about all that's going on. Let's just get out there and fight. Don't let all that's going on around us cause us to lose the battle before we ever step on the field. Let's go. Guess what happens? They go out on the field and they defeat the Israelites. Why? They didn't let their emotions get the best of them. They didn't let what they heard going on stop them from fighting. Now, how did the Philistines get over this? How did they get from letting their emotions get the best of them? Let me give you a couple of thoughts, and I want to be very practical this morning and help us, because sometimes our emotions get the best of us. Sometimes things are going, and we feel like we're swamped, and everything's bad, and nothing's going well, and it's at that time that we can make some very bad decisions, or we can take some very bad steps, and we can make the situation even worse. So let me share a couple thoughts. First of all, I do want you to understand that they did have some understandable reactions. You see, the Israelites were initially bolstered by the arrival of the Ark of the camp, the Ark of the Covenant when it was brought into the camp. They were on an emotional high, and that kind of got to the Philistines. They were emotionally charged. And by the way, let me say this. Having positive emotions is no substitute for real substance. No matter how high they got because the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, bottom line is they were still going to have to go out there and fight those guys. And they were ill-equipped because of their disobedience to God. Let me share a couple understandable reactions that these Philistines had. First of all was confusion. Look at verse 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of the great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? In other words, that emotional burst from the Israelites, they heard it and there was confusion. Isn't that always what happens when we start to get stressed or we start to let our emotions get the best of us? We quit thinking correctly. We get confused. By the way, let me say this. We live in a world of noise. You ever notice that? We live in very confusing times. And if we're not careful, we listen to everything that's going on around us, and it confuses us. It could be on your radio. You listen to politics. That's a really good way to get confused. You know, you listen to the news and you hear all these things and you're reading things on your phones and on your computers and seeing all, you look, if you're not careful and you get so caught up in what's going on in this world. Look, one reason I don't want to watch the news, I don't want to get depressed. Okay, let me put it different. I don't want to get mad. Okay, it's like, man, you hear stuff on the news, like, you get out of here. That's not true. But I'll tell you what, if we listen and filter enough bad things into our, we will get confused. They're like, what is going on here? They were confused by what they heard and what it meant. They had no idea. They're like, well, this is the living God. He's going to get it. Confusion. Confusion. When we live without God or without putting him first place in our life, any bad news is even worse. You know why? Because we don't see the greater meaning to it. It causes us to focus on what's going on instead of focusing on who is ultimately in control. Confusion. Be very careful what you listen to. I like the verse in 1 Corinthians, speaking of the primarily of the resurrection, it says, 1 Corinthians 15:16, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if what we do on this earth now, if what's going on in this earth now has no eternal significance, if there's nothing greater ahead, there's no greater meaning to what's going on, no wonder we get depressed. If all we live for is what's on this life and we disconnect it from everything that's going on or everything that's going to happen in the afterlife, of course we're going to get down. If all of our eggs are in this basket and a couple of them start to break, we're going to freak out. But you know what? God is in control. And there is a purpose to everything that is going on, even when we don't see it. So there was confusion. They had no idea how to put together everything that was going on. Secondly, another understandable response was fear. Look at verse 7. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. Confusion always leads to fear. By the way, as Christians, we ultimately think about it, have nothing to fear. Oh, no, we need to be careful and be vigilant, all those type of things. Don't get me wrong. But we're looking in the whole scheme of things, living for what's on this earth. We don't need to fear the future. We don't need to fear the future. You know, what do they say? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And by the way, I do know the ultimate future, heaven. Okay? There's nothing for us to be afraid of. I like Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 7. Joshua is going to go into the land, and Moses, I mean, we don't think about this. And Moses is dead. Moses has led these people all those years. And Joshua's probably sitting back thinking, man, good, I'm glad I don't have to deal with these people. And then one day Moses dies. It's Joshua's turn. And now Joshua's going to do the thing that the people wouldn't even do under Moses. And Joshua's got to take him in. He needed a little help. Verse 7 of Joshua 1, verse 1, chapter 1. He goes, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You see, fear sometimes even keeps us from obeying what God says. It says, Joshua, you need to be strong and courageous. He didn't say, you need to be strong and courageous, go out there and take some guys down. Now, they had to do that. But he says, you need to be strong and courageous to do what I'm telling you to do. Because I'll be honest with you, some of the game plans God gave them did not make military sense. But in God's whole thing, they made great sense. Okay, what makes sense to God may not make sense to you or me or this world, but that's okay. Let's just follow God. God always knows what's right. And fear will keep us from doing what God wants to do. You know, some people don't sell out to God with their lives because they're afraid of what God will do. Well, God will make me go do something I don't want to do. Do you know it never works out that way? God knows you, and he knows what's best for you, and he'll always put you in the proper place if you will just follow him. We have nothing to fear. I love Isaiah 40, verse 41:10. Fear thou not. That's easy to say, but I like the next part. For I am with thee. It says, there is no reason for you to fear because you need to understand that I'm always with you. When you're feeling down, when you're discouraged, when things don't seem to be going well, and we start to get this pressure on us and our mind maybe starts to start wandering and we need to stop and say, wait a minute. I have nothing to fear because God is with me. It's when we quit remembering that he's with us is when things start to mushroom. We need to be very careful of that. Reminds me of the disciples in the boat with Jesus. They're in the boat. I mean, here's Jesus, the Son of God. They've seen him do miracle after miracle. They're crossing the other side, and the boat's sinking, and Jesus is sleeping. Now, it's okay to run down there and wake Jesus up, all right? But their question was not very smart. Hey, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus, paraphrasing, he had it under control. There was no problems. But aren't we like that sometimes? We get fearful when things are going on. It's like, God, don't you know what's going on in my life? Aren't you around? Can't you be here? Where are you? But faith says we know that he's here. What happened? He gets up, he goes and says, peace be still. And everything calmed right down. Fear. A less understandable reaction these men had was they were discouraged. They were discouraged. Verse 8, woe unto us, who shall deliver us? Discouragement is when you let the confusion and the fear take over. Now you're discouraged, and you're really, when you get discouraged, you're really giving in. You have no more encouragement. You say, there's no way out of this. Well, if we know God, do you know there is always a way out? Amen. When we get discouraged, we say, acting is futile. I don't care. I'm just going to quit. It always amazes me when people will have problems in their life and they'll say, you know what? I got to take care of these problems. I need to stay out of church for a while. It's always a bad move. Discouragement causes us to move away from that which would help us. That's why Satan tries to use it so often. I love, by the way, that's why church is vitally important. Hebrews 10:25, and we quote it for church, but it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But listen to what this says. But exhorting one another. You know, that's one of the purposes we're here. We're here to encourage one another. If you're going through something tough, it's nice to come to a place where you can meet someone. You have people that know you that'll encourage you. By the way, that's why you need to have a church family and you need to connect with the church family. Why? So people will, you have good godly Christian friends. And listen, good godly Christian friends, they know when you're down. They know when you need prayer. And they can come to you and say, listen, they'll give you the encouragement you need. Secondly, we see they experienced an unexpected result. I kind of like this. They were the wrong team, okay? Well, I mean, we were rooting for the Israelites, but they lost. But I like what they did. They said, verse 9, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye, you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they've been unto us. Quit yourselves like men and fight. The Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. Instead of reacting adversely and letting the commotion get them out of sorts, they basically strengthened their resolve. It's almost like they said, if we're going to go down, let's go down fighting. Years and years ago, I read a book by Rick Pitino. At that time, he was a coach at Providence University. And in his book, he gave an illustration. He said it was like 2 minutes left in the game. His team was down like by 13 or 14. And so he called them in the huddle, and he just said, you know, guys, listen, this game's over. We lost. He says, but, you know, I'll tell you what. For this last 2 minutes, let's just at least go out there. and let's just do our best. So that when we lose, at least, and he started raising his voice, at least we can look back and say, we did our best. Can you just give me 2 minutes? And they went out there, and in those 2 minutes, they outscored the team, and they actually won the game. You know, listen, don't let things get you down. Now, it happens to all of us. We kind of, emotional turmoil, and we're down a little bit. But at some point, we need to be like David, who encouraged himself in the Lord and said, listen, this isn't how it's going to end. Let's go out there, and let's give it our best. What happened? Well, we see their strength. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. They cut through all the nonsense. They got through all the emotions, and they looked at their strength and said, let's just do what we're supposed to do. You know, most Christians are really, sometimes we get a little wimpy. And we quit when we ought to be going. Okay? Go through all the emotional. Don't let the emotions dictate your actions. That's the whole point. Strength. I like their determination. They said, that you be servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. I mean, the Philistines at this time, the Israels have been down a lot of times, and the Philistines were kind of using them and kind of controlling them. And they said, listen, remember how we've been making them serve us? If we lose this battle, we're going to have to serve them. Have some determination about you. Sometimes we just need a little spiritual backbone. Sometimes we need to push the emotions away and say, you know what? With God, I can make it. And it's not this thing that I can do all things. It's the whole verse. I can do all things through Christ. But if we're going to do all things through Christ, it has to start off with I do. We have to put in some action on our own. We have to be determined and say, you know what? I'm not going to give up. Mental determination always takes place before any physical action. We lose the battle in our minds. We give up in our minds, and next thing you know, we're giving up in our lives. It's a lot at stake. People have made horrible decisions because of emotions. You say, well, it's my life. If I make the decision and things don't go well, oh, well, it's my life. You know, your life affects many other people. If you're a husband, your life affects your wife. It affects your children. Mother, your wife, your decision affects your husband, your children. Let's not do something that's going to affect others under the guise, well, it's my life. I can do what I want. Listen, none of us lives unto ourselves. Let's have some determination. And then the determination will turn to action. And the Philistines fought. And they won. You're not going to accomplish anything until you activate. The worst thing you can do is to let your emotions keep you from doing what you are supposed to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. See, we get discouraged, we get down, we quit reading our Bibles. Quit praying. Quit coming to church. We quit doing this, you know. That doesn't help. While you're battling through that, stay on schedule. Keep doing the things you're supposed to do, because fact of the matter is, a lot of those things that you're supposed to do are the very things that are going to get you to where you need to be. And if we take those out, now we're making the situation worse. And then we see victory. Now, in the couple minutes I have left, let me just give you a couple practical thoughts and we're done. First of all, understand that their emotions were not in charge. Emotions are great, but your emotions cannot determine what you do. Most people, you ask somebody sometimes, you know, about a situation, you say, what do you think? You know, a lot of times what the real question ought to be, not the right one, but you know what the real question ought to be? What do you feel? Because when you ask someone what they think, a lot of times they don't tell you what they think. You know what they tell you? They tell you what they feel. And you got to really get, and that's fine, by the way. Sometimes we need to get our feelings out there, do we not? But if we get our feelings out there and we walk through them, then we'll be able to make the proper decisions that aren't being made just by our emotions. Don't let your emotions, understand that if you're feeling, you know, if you're feeling down or you're feeling a little stressed, okay, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. Just don't let those emotions be in charge of your life. You say, but I really do it. I struggle with it. There's two things you ought to do. First of all, give it some time. Give it some time. I've told the illustration many years ago, I think it was 90 or 91. We were kind of fed up with living out here in Long Beach and our kids, and we were in a really bad area and things were going on. And it's like, we're leaving. We're going out of state. It wasn't even my wife's decision. That was my, we're going to go to Washington. It wasn't my decision. It wasn't her decision. It was mine. She was actually kind of shocked when I said it. I said, I'm just tired of this. I mean, stuff was going on. It's just like, I'm done. But that was my emotion speaking. By the way, I was working, we were working 16-hour days minimum. It was like we weren't finishing the work. It was chaos where we were working. We were there all, it was just, I was tired. It was just like drama. I'm like, I'm out. But we did one thing, Brother Pichardo. We said, all right, we'll leave, but let's wait 6 months to make sure that it's not just an emotional decision. You know what? It didn't even take 6 months. And it's like, we ain't going anywhere. Because that was an emotional decision. Sometimes give yourself some time to work through it. And if you're having trouble getting through it, get counsel. Some people make big decisions and they don't talk to anybody about it. They don't. And a lot of times we're afraid to run what we're doing by somebody because we're afraid they're going to upset our plans. Well, if your plans are God's plans, that won't happen. But sometimes we're afraid of that, okay? Maybe somebody will see something that you don't see. Maybe there's something in the scripture you're violating that you need that needs to be pointed out to you. Don't let your emotions be in charge. Next, fighting is always the right choice. What do I mean by that? Don't give in to what's going on in your life. Fight for what you're supposed to be doing. Fight through your emotions. Just say, man, I don't feel like doing this. Seems like everything's horrible. Fine. Let that thought be in your mind, but step up and do what you're supposed to do and fight. Do the right thing. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And understand this. Victory is only God's to give. Could it be that some of the things you're going through, God is allowing you to go through because he's trying to build you up or teach you something for something later? Don't you think that could be it? So often God allows things in our life and they're not pleasant and we fight and we don't want to go through it. And God has lessons. James talks about that. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And so often I think what happens is we bypass that, we try to get away from what God's doing, and we don't learn patience, and it's almost like I got to bring something else or allow something else in your life to get you to where I need you to be. Just understand God's in control and the victory's there, but he's the one that gives it. We do what we're supposed to do and all of that, and God will get us to where we are supposed to be. What's the whole point? Don't let your emotions get the best of you. Don't do it. How many people have been, I've talked to people and they've done something. It's like, why did you decide to do that? And they'll say this, well, I had to do something. It's better to do nothing than to do the wrong thing. And it was just that they did something based on their emotions because at that, you know, I heard someone say one time, don't make a decision when your decision maker's broken. And when you're stressed and you're emotional and your feelings are out of control, that is not the time to make a big decision. It's time to work through it and let God show you how he wants you to react. Let's stand together this morning.